Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 577, Science Faction, the luck of bad experiences and the end of the internet.
The end of the internet? Is this an apocalypse podcast?
Kind of.
Oh.
Kind of. The second article is going to be kind of apocalyptic.
Okay. Well, I mean, at least for now, we're being honest with our listeners. Like, hey, guys, listen, you already hear from Science Faction. You have 5 years left to live. Kiss your loved ones. Commit any felony you've ever wanted to. You heard it here. This is Robert Timothy's voice.
Let me just say, theoretically speaking, if you're listening to this, you have 5 years left to live. Now, that is going to apply to some percentage of our audience, because just mathematically speaking, some percentage of the people who are listening to us right now will be dead in 5 years. Maybe from heart disease, maybe from cancer, maybe from a car accident. Who knows? But to somebody who heard me say the words, you will be dead in 5 years, it is a true prediction. So you guys get the fun of figuring out whether I'm talking to you or not.
I feel like because you have access to the numbers, you are looking at the end sample, the end number of this and saying this is likely, which tells me that we have millions upon millions of listeners.
So is your idea that the death rate of any given population over a five-year span is one in a million?
We live in America. We're a first-world country. Why is this not? I'm sorry, Bobby. I thought this was America. We have universal health care.
And speaking of universal health care, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. I thought we were talking about universal health care. That is a platform that I've always had. Listen, I think the millionaires and billionaires could pay much more. Listen, Bobby, let's talk about statistics. Let's talk about the statistics, please. If we could, just for one moment, please. I feel it would be very relevant to our topic here.
Oh my God, Bernie Sanders is here on our podcast. This is impressive. Bobby, we have had Alex Jones here many times, and I feel like we really haven't balanced the other side.
I will stand back and wait for a reason for me to step in. You know, like because somebody's talking about statistics or something.
You know what's funny is Bernie Sanders very famously took his honeymoon in the former USSR, and it's very appropriate because I can hear the touch of Russian in his accent.
Let me just tell you something about Moscow. Moscow, beautiful, this time of year, for being honest. And I'm saying that, you know, like, first off, if you're asking me if I'm Russian, I am absolutely not. I was there to learn about Bolshevik techniques. I actually learned that a bear riding a motorcycle is actually a Russian citizen. True fact. True fact.
Dear. By the way, for our new Patreon listeners, the ones who have just signed up, we have not forgotten you. Your shout outs will come in the next few weeks. Thank you guys for coming in and joining our Patreon. We're seeing an influx of people coming in, and we really appreciate it. And if you guys haven't had a chance, check out Robert Timothy on Patreon, where you'll get a whole nother episode every single week of Science Faction. You get to hear I Call BS, where Damian consistently loses every single time he plays the game for close to 8 years now.
Okay, just so you guys know, like, we are clearly the dominant science faction. We're the top in this situation. If you Google Science Faction, you are going to get a slew of other podcasts, at least two by three, technically, but one of them is discontinued and the other one is like a German.
Yeah.
Like, it's in German. I don't give a fuck. But if you Google Science Faction, the number one response, the number one thing that comes up is our Nemesis podcast, a podcast that...
Oh, yes,
the other science faction. The science faction that exists only to detract from us by Google's standards.
Isn't it just like two old dudes with no editing or writing or anything just blabbing about nonsense?
Here's what I can tell you, and I've never once listened to an episode of their podcast, but what I can tell you is this. One, they started a couple weeks after us, which is insane. Because of also, like, we predate them. When we searched, there was no other science faction. Their first episode is after ours. Secondly, they follow a similar formula in that they are two friends from high school, basically talking about, I believe their premise is talking about science fiction movies and how they pertain to, or how they would pertain to science. All I know is this. They have been existing for out of spite, if almost as if Bobby, you offended somebody, and their only goal.
It's just Stephen Novella in a costume. That's what's Stephen going
Novella
on.
Has a grassroots, an AstroTurf campaign, where basically he knows that you have spent thousands upon thousands of hours editing for this podcast, but he just wants that when people search Science Faction for their number one podcast to be this lame ass show, our competitors. So I guess the thing is this, Bobby, at what point do we say we're the original Science Faction? Like, at what point do we rename ourselves?
I think we challenge all the other Science Faction podcasts to a no holds bar, 2-on-2, whoever wins keeps the name.
Okay. I will be sending out a series of death threats to the other Science Faction. Because here's the thing. I have checked out how many comments they've gotten and what they're what data is available on iTunes. Every week, nobody listens, yet they keep it alive. And we have hoped for years that we've been doing this podcast that they would eventually just kind of lose steam and they could stop siphoning. Because what percentage of people... like, say, hey, I heard about this Science Faction podcast. Google us, click them, and be like, well, they suck. They didn't mention dicks once.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you send out the invitation for the Royal Rumble to decide who gets to keep the name, like, do some Photoshop and put me in a wheelchair, make yourself, 4'3", and, with a broken arm. Like, make us look like an easy target for the challenge, and then when they accept it, then they can get pleasantly surprised.
Yes, hello, other Science Faction podcast. Would you be willing to accept a Goodwill Games match between, obviously you, which are two high school friends, and we're two high school friends, but we both have cerebral palsy, so, we really can't compete that well. I have a black belt in karate because, basically, I wheeled myself in there, and they were too ashamed to deny me.
The cerebral possibilities. All right, let's move right on to science. Articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
All right, article number one. Thank you for the opportunity to face such great suffering.
I agree. Listen, one thing I learned in Moscow was that there has to be a certain amount of suffering in order for the greater good to happen. You know what I'm talking about?
Bernie, please. You're a United States Senator. I respect that you've taken time on this podcast, but please let Bobby speak.
So this is a really interesting article in Science News about the psychology of kind of pursuing a fulfilled life. Now, for a long time, there was this dichotomy, and this was actually what I was taught in basic undergrad psych, which was that the shift or the dichotomy and the balance in life, and this, by the way, goes back to the ancient Greeks, is a mixture between happiness and meaning. So happiness would be a life that's full of joy and comfort and security, and meaningfulness would be a life that's full of significance and purpose and coherence. And we can kind of imagine this in our lives, right? We can think of wishing for a life in which we had tons of money and all the big houses and big cars and stuff and just sheer joy. But at the same time, you might also wish to make a big scientific discovery or invent something that changes the lives of people or to help a group of people in such a way that your life is meaningful.
Create a longer lasting vibrator, like something that would achieve more orgasms per minute. That would be a mark on the world.
Yeah. Theoretically, if you invented that, you could get both literal joy out of it, as well as the meaningfulness of knowing that you have provided that joy to a lot of other people.
Yes, and that is why I continually try to make new Pornhub categories through my own self-filmed documentaries, you might say. My goal is, listen, Bobby, imagine this. Imagine when people thought BBW, they thought Robert Timothy. That was the man who stood up and said, yep, BBW was a thing. It is wonderful, and you should be proud. And that is why your name is associated with that.
Yeah, but I feel like your whatever you were coming up with would have very exotic search terminology. It would be a mixture where you got sticky, crying, and disappointment as those would be your search terms to get whatever porn that you were trying to create.
Dude, do you realize I'm going up against the open perv market right now? Do you realize every day a million people like me, entrepreneurs, sexual entrepreneurs like me, are trying to create new Pornhub categories. I am tickling my grandmother's feet. I'm not getting off to this, but I hope somebody does in order for me to be immortalized. Like she doesn't know what I'm doing. She just thinks I'm being kind to the elderly.
To be fair, she doesn't know because your specific topic is sleep tickling. So there is a...
Like, it's a little arousing. Yeah. I mean, like, there's some... You know, Bobby, I feel like you're trying to present a case to me where I shouldn't be in my grandmother's will. And you should.
So there is this idea that you are going to live the best life or gain the most overall satisfaction by finding the right balance between that sheer happiness model and meaningfulness. However, as this paper points out, it might be that that is not so much a dichotomy and there are more elements to bring in. This one brings in one other concept. I actually think we might end up bringing in more than one at some point, but they bring in the idea of psychological richness, which is a very interestingly defined term. Basically, what they're talking about is novelty seeking, curiosity, moments that shift one's view of the world. There are basically rich experiences that aren't inherently good or bad, and they could be accidental, intentional, or even traumatic. So what they're saying is it's not just this dichotomy between happiness and meaningfulness. You have to add in things like this concept of psychological richness, by which really bad things could actually have a positive impact on your appreciation for life.
Bobby molesting me for years, and I call BS, could actually be some sort of story that I use to come back from. Like, hey, I was trapped on a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Where somebody berated me intellectually for years, yet I fought my way back and became a Nobel Prize winning scientist.
It might make you stop making needless Happy Day references. It might make you like try a little bit harder and actually win a game for once. Like, it might make you do a lot of things. And that's true. That's a good example. But like, it says that if you're going beyond just this happiness versus meaningfulness dynamic, you got to look at like everything that's involved. You're not just going to gain appreciation for life when good things happen to you or things that you do that you feel are meaningful happen. Oftentimes, very negative experiences, whether the death of somebody or a hard trial somebody has to go through.
Or a Democratic primary that was stolen from you. Like, I agree. Like, that is completely something that, you know, me and Jane, we did it together.
Yeah, well, oftentimes those experiences make our lives better in the long run because they change who we are, how we view the world, how we appreciate the world. I mean, there's this entire concept that previous research supports of this idea called post-traumatic growth, which is this kind of transformation that gives people a newfound appreciation for life and a desire to help others. So like, it's like the old 1950s Disney type movie where the person almost dies and then all of a sudden that makes them appreciate the life they live so much more. And now they want to give money to Tiny Tim instead of steal his crutch, you know?
Post-traumatic growth sounds to me like something that happens like after I pay a prostitute to stop my groin and then I get aroused. Like, that sounds to me... Like a professional term.
Yes. I was going to say post-traumatic growth would be a good name for an STD that any woman caught from you. Like, oh no, I've got this post-traumatic growth. I thought the sex was horrible, but really, this is the worst part.
I did not think that the sex could get worse because he just kept mentioning his mother the whole time. Also, I've never heard the term flaccid erection before, but... And then the post-traumatic growth.
So that means that these like life-changing, very extreme experiences can change our lives and or can change our perspectives in a lot of different ways. One is they could be really bad and they could make us more appreciative of the life we have. Number two, it could actually just literally change the mindset we have. If you are, let's say, somebody who goes through war, right? You might come back from war, not just with an appreciation of the fact that you're in a peaceful time.
But be a podcaster.
That's true. I did have quite some hard times out there in Phoenix, if that's what you're referring to. But maybe you come back from your experience from war, and because of seeing, not you don't just appreciate the peacefulness, but having experienced the world as being a big place with random sporadic violence, you are also more in tune with the world in which you likely evolved from, because we all came from very violent roots, and therefore you have a greater appreciation for the tranquility of a civilized world that you're now in. Whatever it is, these like very big and dramatic experiences, even if they're bad, can have these significant impacts on our lives. And in a way, I think it kind of answers some of the philosophical disagreements that center around just worried about joyfulness or meaningfulness. So, like, if you are just concerned with the joyfulness or happiness of your life, theoretically, like, your best bet is to just, like, find a way, like, find a small hole to crawl into, enough food to eat, and then a bunch of heroin. And, like, theoretically, if you want to talk about maximizing happiness, like, you could max out those happiness lines the entire time, but the fact is your life is not going to be very meaningful because you're just going to be a heroin addict, and while you will have quite a richness of experience that will lead to that psychology, which you're not going to likely have as a fulfilling life outside of it.
Well, first off, Bobby, you can, let's just say I was a legend in the opium den, and I've created a legacy. Like, people will always refer to Damien from that science podcast, you know, Science Faction, you know, not the bad one. Not the good one. However, Bobby, I agree with what you said. Like, sometimes bad experiences can be good. Like, and all jokes aside, we've talked about me getting divorced on this podcast, but, like, there was a big time when, like, as I got divorced, I took a big, long look inward and realized, like, oh, my God, this dude is garbage. Like, what can we do to fix it?
And you weren't just talking about that guy you were banging. Like, there was also...
Yeah.
There's a look inward at yourself as well.
Yeah, this dude is just banging anybody. Like, wow. Like, this dude is garbage. Like, there's no, like, standards for him at all. Without that experience, I feel like I had the confidence before of, like, a truck-ranting male in white society. You know, like, I had that level of confidence to not know anything about something, but still assert that I did know more than I did. And that, I say that as somebody who actually was still, at this time, a member of a science podcast where we regularly had people smarter than me. And it took like that, it took that experience for me to, grow. You know, it took for that experience for me to realize like, hey, look inward, buddy. The call's coming from inside the house. You know what I'm talking about?
That's a good point. That's a good point, is that, you know, it's that hard times push us through psychological growth that will then make us better later on. Here's an interesting scale they have to kind of look at a person's psychological richness. So this is on a scale of 1 to 7. 1 is strongly disagree. 7 is strongly agree. All right, Damien, let's have you take this little quiz. Number 1, I have a lot of novel experiences. Strongly agree or strongly disagree?
Am I answering as myself, or am I answering for...
Yes. Okay. You're answering as yourself.
Yes. I would like to think I have a lot of novel experiences. That was the one advantage of not getting straight A's in high school, was that, like, hey, guess what? You're not going on the predictable doctor path. You're not going to be a lawyer. You're going to have to do a lot of things to make money.
Yeah. You're going to have a lot of novel experiences because you have not had a lot of experience with novels.
You're going to be making a podcast, whatever that is, my science counselor, my guidance counselor would say. And you're going to be making a lot of dick jokes for money. And by the way, that money may not ever come. So,
yeah, I have certainly had a lot of novel experiences. I'll tell you that. All right. Number 2, my life has been full of unique, unusual experiences.
True. Yes, absolutely. Not many people have been divorced as many times as I have. And, like, that's just one snapshot. Like, I'm kind of an expert in marriage, sure. Bobby. Which, by the way, if you ever want marriage tips, I'd be happy to give it to you. I'm kind of, like, I've leveled up so much. Like, you're still in your first marriage. Don't ever talk to me about marriage things.
Yeah, you have a lot of marriage experience. All right, what about this? My life consists of rich, intense moments.
If self-hate is considered...
it's pretty intense.
It's intense. Like, Bobby, listen, I try every week to not be one of those veterans who's part of a statistic, because I would hate for people to think like, oh, typical veteran. I want many people to think about me and military service. I want them to think I was stealing valor. I don't want them to ever think that I killed myself as part of some statistic.
All right, how about my life has been dramatic?
As an actor, I can say that I have failed. If it has not been dramatic, excuse me while I produce a tear.
What about I experience a full range of emotions via firsthand experiences such as travel and attending concerts?
As somebody who grew up poor and somebody who doesn't treat himself to either of the things even when I have disposable income. So I'm going to say that no, but just because of the two examples that you cited.
All right, what about this? I have a lot of personal stories to tell others.
Yes, I do. However, most of them, I'm going to play the fifth on a lot of them. If we're being honest, like, I feel
yes,
like...
I have a lot of personal stories, and a lot of them involve Damien. A lot of them... there is a ton of those personal experiences where at some point the line that goes, and then Damien did this stupid thing.
Here's the thing. That person that I hated that I mentioned a little bit ago in the podcast, that sociopath has a lot of stories. In fact, like...
Yeah.
Like, he could win you over before he exposed his more negative traits to you with just how charismatic those stories were.
What about, on my deathbed, I'm likely to say, I had an interesting life.
I would have said that until I grew as a person. And then, like, now, I, and then also, honestly, COVID happened at some point, too. Like, I really have not had an interesting life.
Yeah, but there's something, that's kind of interesting. And, I mean, if you think about it, like, our grandkids will be like, tell us about the pandemic. And, like, that will be an interesting thing we live through.
Not true. The people living on the front lines, the people putting on parking lot comedy shows, the people, like, going out risking other people's life, those guys live the front lines. And, you know, are monsters.
What about my life would make a good novel or movie?
Yes, I would. But I say that because, Bobby, you know my childhood, and I would love to write a movie.
Yes.
We've all seen the movie Boogie Nights, right? Now, remember the scene where, like, Mark Wahlberg's mom, like, loses her? And I believe I actually saw Boogie Nights for the first time with you in my living room.
Yes.
And, like, this scene is, like, with Mark Wahlberg's mom, and she's kicking him out of the house. It's meant to be, like, some sort of, like, really dramatic scene. The whole time I was thinking, like, wow, she was really cool about that whole thing. Like, wow. Like,
I remember watching in your living room and thinking, I hope Damien's mom doesn't overhear this and get way madder than the person on screen.
Yeah, if anything, she'd be watching, like, how come she didn't hit him once? How come she didn't grab a bat and just strike his friends? I don't understand. What is, like, this mom is way too cool.
So, very interesting idea, and it's a different way to categorize things. I actually like philosophical ideas like this because it allows you to put a spin on bad things that happen. Like, I already have a spin. I use the stand-up route, which is like anytime a bad thing is happening to me, I'm like, well, at least it'll make a funny stand-up bit later. I could think of like a funny way to twist this, especially if it's particularly unique. But this is another thing that's kind of like that. It's like, well, listen, this may suck right now, but this is going to make me a better person for later on. I'll be happier for it.
Well, as somebody who grew up with the mom from Boogie Nights, or the evil version of the mom from Boogie Nights, I can assure you that, who's to say, Damien could have been a lawyer, the world's worst lawyer, like somebody who would have been sanctioned many times, somebody who would have...
But think of all the happiness you gain from knowing that you don't have to see your mom anymore. Like, now, like, all that happiness would otherwise be stolen from you if you had had this, like, idyllic upbringing.
Oh, because I was the lawyer who... had his mom assassinated? Like, how did I just get disbarred? I don't understand, because...
On to article number two. Solar storm blackout.
This seems like the party of the century. Listen, Fire Festival was so 2018, I want to say. Like, lifetime. But this new solar storm blackout festival, going to be lit. As a matter of fact, I heard Ja Rule is actually going to make it up to fans and perform at this one.
Ja Rule is going to once again take your money for this particular festival.
He's a hero. Like, by the way, I like how Ja Rule was the one who came out the most unscathed from all of this. Ja Rule, it's hard to describe to what people in our age how lame Ja Rule was. Like, if you're somebody who's a younger fan, like a younger millennial, younger Gen Y, Gen Z, you might like Ja Rule ironically, but like, he was fucking lame in our time.
We all understand that Ja Rule has money he needs to make. Voice rasp is not free. It is something that costs quite a bit of money and a lot of maintenance.
That's an effect he has put on afterwards. The guy sounds like Michael Jackson otherwise.
So this is a great article on Live Science, and it talks about the type of internet blackout we could experience because of a large solar storm, also known as a coronal mass ejection, which we've talked about a few times on this show. I brought up the fact that I had some researchers over at Nerd Night who were talking about the fact that I think a couple years back, maybe 2015 or something, we just barely missed a coronal mass ejection. Our sun had a coronal mass ejection that just barely missed our planet. And if it had been 2 weeks earlier or something like that, we basically would have fried all the electronics on Earth and lost the internet and everything. And we were just 2 weeks away from that happening. We just got lucky.
Democracy would have been saved.
So what is a solar storm? it starts with solar wind, which is constantly bombarding the Earth. It's just magnetized particles. And not only does that cause a certain amount of electromagnetic interference, but it causes actual visual light, which we can see if you are in the right place on the planet. Just go and go look at the northern lights. The northern lights are literally the physical manifestation of that solar wind that kind of conglomerates at the poles. But that's just solar wind, and that can increase until it gets to what is called a solar storm, which can actually knock stuff out. We've had an experience of two big solar storms in our history, one in 1859 and one in 1921. The 1859 one was large enough that telegraph wires burst into flames, which is... I do think it would be funny to see, like, when they're like 1859, all the electronics go out and they're like, oh no, we're pitched all the way back into the 1840s.
Listen, I paid to have a 1-900 number telegraph pornography to me. Don't talk to me about solar storms. Did you get all that, stenographer? Beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep. So the 1859 storm had telegraph wires bursting into flames, and the northern lights were actually visible all the way down in equatorial Colombia.
I acknowledge that the end times are nigh. I want to see the Aurora Borealis one fucking time before I die. And if the Earth, if the end of the world could just make that easy for me so it's visible as far as San Diego, California. I'm not asking for Ecuador.
I think it'd be hilarious to be seeing that in Colombia. But so what would happen if we got...
People would just think it was the cocaine. Like, it was like, oh my God, the cocaine is so good.
Well, non-shielded metal cables would overload, like those, like the internet cables that carry our internet stuff underwater between the oceans. So the inner ocean or intercontinental internet would essentially go out. A lot of regular day electronics would be blown up. Basically, things with transistors would overflow a bit with electricity and burn out. We would expect that at least for a short while, certain things like cars and stuff wouldn't work. Those are all DC, though. We could probably stitch those up pretty quickly if their computers weren't fried. But a lot of stuff with internal components and computers would absolutely be fried. Like, it would be a really big deal. We were talking about a major event. But what's really, really kind of concerning about this is intercontinental information travel. Because locally, a lot of our internet is carried by fiber optic lines. And fiber optic lines would not be subject to this. They would not really be affected by it. But the undersea cables are kind of those old school copper cablings. And that absolutely would. And
we have to negotiate with Poseidon before we do anything with those undersea cables.
Yeah, and then you're not even talking about the Sebastian Clause, which allows vetoes to anything that is technically under the sea.
However, he has been known to be swayed by a Caribbean too. So if you know that somebody who can sing underwater, what's Lou Bega doing? What's the Baja Man doing?
And so while, like, computers and stuff could get fried, we'd probably replace those pretty quickly. It wouldn't be everything, and we'd, you know, they wouldn't all be blown up and everything. But what would go out would be those intercontinental undersea cables would go down for weeks, months, maybe even more than that at a time, which, you know, we've seen what happened with COVID with just, like, certain supply chains going down. Could you imagine if basically the world's internet went down for even a day? Like, think of what that would be, much less the months or longer it would take to fix that. So...
How am I supposed to keep up with what's happening with Q if the web goes down, Bobby?
Well, it's an interesting idea, and it's like, it's one where it's like, well, what are you going to do? You're either going to lay some fiber optic under the ocean already to prepare for it, or you're just going to wait for the inevitability that it will happen, because it's just a mathematical certainty at some point. On a long enough timeline, we will get a coronal mass ejection, and it will harm us. So, like, we're just rolling the dice, constantly wondering when it's going to come. It could be going on right now. Damien, as we are taping this, it could happen before we are even able to publish this episode. We could have a coronal mass ejection, internet goes down, then... I mean, listen, I don't want to, you know, toot our own horn or anything, but I will say it is not, I don't think, a coincidence that New Zealand, huge fans of Science Faction, big listenership over there, and no coronavirus, right? So what happens when this show goes down? All of a sudden, New Zealand, rampant corona everywhere. A couple other things to think about is that...
Because, of course, we were the reason that... Yeah, it's a bold statement, but I'm going to come out and say it. Science Faction declares we were the reason that New Zealand's COVID numbers were so low.
Yeah. I mean, look what's going on right now in terms of Hong Kong and their freedoms and rights being restricted by mainland Chinese government. And I'll put it this way. I don't want to, like, draw a straight line. Again, I don't want to toot our horn. But what I'll say is, for the first 7 years of this podcast, or 0 to 7 around that time, or 0 to 6, whenever that was, China was not messing with Hong Kong. Hong Kong was fine. They had rights. They could protest. They were an autonomous area. Now, this is going on, you know, and all I'm saying is maybe it's only science faction that's keeping the whole of Hong Kong from being completely subsumed by the mainland Chinese government.
Well, you might say that, and that is what we have to say publicly. However, the great and wonderful Chairman Mao and the wonderful Republic of the People of China have actually contacted us as the premier science education podcast of the internet, and have actually urged us to drop our protection of Hong Kong, which is why it fell so quickly.
Did you get LeBron? Did you get LeBron? Did Beijing contact you and demand that you come out with a pro-Chinese statement?
Listen, me, John Cena, and LeBron all came together and crafted this statement. Yes, we have publicists. But the point is, Hong Kong is wrong to oppose the rightful rule of China. And its citizens were wrong to demand freedom.
Well, very, very interesting. Hopefully all of you will be able to continue listening to us regardless of where you are on the earth, because the internet won't be knocked out and we won't be, kicked back into the dark ages. But very, very interesting, and always interesting to know that that's just hovering around us at any time. You know, this possibility that could happen, and hopefully doesn't.
I've been as we stated earlier, I'm trying to make an entirely new, I'm trying to, wagons westward. I'm trying to create a new Pornhub category. And yeah, for the first time, you've mentioned an article that affects me. Like, what if the internet goes down? How am I supposed to be immortalized through some sort of weird foot thing that I haven't even mentioned yet or haven't even thought of?
Your unique brand of what was called foot disappointment?
Yes. Where I pay somebody to stomp my groin and be disappointed about the whole thing. Like, listen, I thought I was coming here for a job interview. You paid me $75. I'm going to stomp your groin. Don't get me wrong, for wasting my time. And I'll take your $75.
Thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 577, where you learned all about how psychological richness is an important part of life and how we might go back to the Stone Age with one solar storm. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 578.
Oi, seems like the internet went out. Crikey. Okay, get me Science Faction. Damn it, I just got COVID.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.